Good morning, everybody. I mean, we've been hearing a lot about loving one another here on some of the past services and listening to Davey and it got me thinking, and it's got me thinking this morning. I was praying to the Lord and just recognizing His provision for me, His love toward me. Not just to me only, but to all of us. And it's a great thing. It's actually hard to understand because I know I'm so undeserving of it. I know how I have murmured and complained, but yet the Lord had loved me through the midst of some of the most rebellious times. And there was a gratefulness that came out of that. And the Lord's good. But I wanted to, what started hitting me, I want to go to Romans 13, 8. I'll start at 8. And it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything but to love one another." And I think I can just stop right there. Because as I was recognizing the grace and the mercy of the Lord and His provision for me, and how I spit on His face, how I drove that nail through His hand, not that I physically did, but when the way that I was living, when I take on His name and I reject Him, and the way I was living was absolutely to rebellion to God, that's no different. That's exactly what I was doing. And even after knowing Him, when I walked in that way, there's no difference in that. But I was looking at the love that He shed abroad for us and for me. And I'm looking like, it says right here, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." Man, I tell you, I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved. I'm very grateful of that. And if the Lord had extended His hand out to me in grace and grace and mercy, and provision through some of my most difficult times, and has provided right for me, I ought to do the same for one another. We ought to be doing that for one another. We ought to be showing what the love of Christ is out there in the world. You know, do we do that? You know, it's a big question I ask myself. Do I do that? Or at every turn when somebody wrongs me, do I hold it against them? You know, what do I do with that? Do I offer grace and mercy and love? Or do I tell them the truth? That's another form of love. It was funny, I was watching the show the other day, and it was these two little, I don't know what kind of cartoon it was, I have no idea, the kids were watching it. But these two little kids were, and they weren't kids, they were some figure, animal figure, whatever, but they were staying at this one person's house, and they were just disruptive and rude and all these things, and you know, eventually they got fed up, I guess, with whoever they were staying at, and they went to go stay at other police people's houses. And every single one of those people that owned the houses said no, and they made up an excuse and a lie why they wouldn't let them in. Except till they came to the last one, and the last one said no. Because you're this and that and this, and told them the truth. And it was an interesting thing, because what happened was those two little, whatever they were, realized that they were the ones that were rude. They are the ones that were selfish. Those that they were that way. And they turned back and apologized to the people that they were staying with, and they repented of those things. But see, that was the type of love. What the Lord showed me in that was that was love to tell them the truth. So that they could turn away from the way that they were. That they could see for themselves that was not right. And so do I let people live a lie when I know that the truth is evidently before me? Or do I care more about what they think of me than what's best for their soul? So I'm just kind of hitting a couple different points of love. And the point of love here is the agape love. That love of choice. Where you prefer others over yourself. That's what the Lord did for us. You know, do I do the same? I mean, what did Jesus come down? Guys, folks, you are not called to come here and be pew warmers. You guys are called to be ministers. Ministers of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in another, what's that? Okay, but you can be a metal chair warmer. I mean, that distinction's up. I mean, anyways, let's move on. But Jesus came to minister. And let me tell you something, folks. What that word minister means, it means to serve. It means to serve. And how can you serve? What I think it's in Philippians or Colossians where it talks about to esteem others better than yourself. And how can you serve if you think you're better than the next person? How can you love one another if you think you're better than those people out there in the world? You can't. I mean, you look at Jesus who was perfect, who walked perfectly to the will of God with no sin at all. He served. And he served to the point of giving up his own life and dying on the cross to pay for my sin, your sin, and to give us life again. My gosh, can we not do that for one another? See, he paid the price for us because we couldn't do it. He's the only one that could have done that. We didn't deserve what he did for us, but he did it anyways. Do we do that for one another? Are we showing the love of Christ to one another or to the world at all? I mean, I don't know, but this hit me. This is a sobering thing for me. It really is. I'm going to move on for this. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Yeah, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love he's talking about here is the love that is for you to benefit you. so that you can go forward to know the Lord more and be fruitful so that others may know the Lord. No ill to his neighbor. Literally preferring for their better state and doing whatever it takes, preferring that above you. And that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we were, nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's an action, that's a choice that we make. And it's not something that we manufacture. It's not something that we can do in the flesh. It's something that the Lord does when you choose solely to lay down your life for Him. And He gives you that love and that spirit that you need to go forward to do what He would have you do. And loving one another, He pours out that love into you that you can pour it out unto others. It's you simply making that choice. And it's a lot easier to do when you recognize the depravity and the needance of what that you need Him. I don't know how else to put it. But simply just recognizing how much you need Him and how much He's done for you, it makes you grateful. And then you know that love. You know what that love means to you. And that love is more precious than anything. It changed your life. Took you out of the darkest place. And you became His. And when you can recognize that, it's much easier to love. See, at the end it says, but put ye on the Lord Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't listen to that old man. Don't take heed to that old man, but take heed to the Word of God. Take heed to those that are over you. Because that old man is enmity with God. It wants nothing to do with Him. It's all about itself and pleasing itself, and it's never satisfied, ever. And it's just a never-ending hole that you feed, that you feed, that you feed. And I relate to it greatly. I relate to it like drug addiction. But it could be anything. And be self-righteousness, trying to make yourself worthy. And that never gets satisfied because you can't do that. It would be a covetousness. It can be whatever. It could be whatever. But it's never satisfied. But when you have the love of Christ, that is fulfilling. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I tell you, I remember just this morning, the burdens being rolled away. And that peace that I had. Something that I can't take away. He did. So which guy are we going to be that gets that talent? Are we going to bury it in the dirt not do anything with it? Because if you do that, those things are going to start be taken away from you. But if He pours it in and you pour it out, the more He's going to give you. Kind of like the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. But I wanted to share that with you because that's what we ought to be operating in. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And it's very easy to see where you're at. Just look around, see for yourself how you treat one another. And what did David say when he killed Uriah? Took Bathsheba, committed adultery and murder. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Are you loving one another? Because if you're loving one another, you're loving the Lord. But if you're not loving one another, you're not loving the Lord. That just goes hand in hand. And that's a good litmus test for you to check it out. Where you at? Are you loving those that are outside the body? The Lord's good and gracious and merciful. And He's done marvelous things in our lives. Let's carry that out. Let's be like that Sea of Galilee. Let's not be that man that buried that talent in the dirt. Let's be like that tree that's planted by the river that Proverbs talks about. Amen?
Well, we're sitting here pondering love again after Texas's service last week. Have been pondering it. I'll grant you that. The let's go to again 1 Corinthians 13. It's real easy to get all Matthew 6 on you as we're going through this. But I don't think I'm going to do that. At least, not at the moment. I don't plan on it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I know I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. I am nothing. Those are some good things. But if you don't have agape, you're worthless. You're no good to God. You're no good to your brothers. Doesn't matter what else you can do. And though I bestow all goods, all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And what he's setting up here, I'm going to go Matthew 7 on you, is he's setting up here people that are doing these things not to be loving, not to be accepting of other people, not be extending grace and mercy. They're doing it to be seen, punching the clock, doing it. So they can receive the recognition and the glory here, now, instead of from the Lord. because it was a good thing they were doing, and it pleased the Lord. They're not worried about pleasing the Lord here. They're worried about getting credit. Depart from me, I never knew you. That's a problem. I don't want to be the one, I don't want to be hearing that. I don't want any of y'all being the ones to be hearing that. Charity suffereth long. As a boy growing up in the South, the phrase I heard over and over again was, how long am I going to have to put up with you? And the way you are. Well, let's think about this. How is the way you are? How did Jesus receive you? It's the song, Just As I Am. Not when I got cleaned up, not when I got worthy enough, not when I got around to it. How do you receive people? You give preference to ones that are from the right place or from the right part of town or have the best, most acceptable car to you or the prettiest kids or nicest clothes, nicest house, best upbringing. How do you speak to people? Are you ministering to them grace and mercy? Or is everything in your speech, instead of it being seasoned with salt, it's peppered with judgment? You speak judgment to people. Oh man, I wouldn't do that way. Then you turn around and you borrow their things and you don't do it your way, you do it their way. And what I mean by that is you don't do it, use your own high standard with it. You treat it the way you perceived in judgment they treat it. You turn it back to them without, not only without even thinking about it, but in some cases, clearly deficient. Something broken or didn't get gassed up or, you know, something. We do these things without thinking about it, but it is how we treat each other that we need to be looking at. Long suffering. Putting up with the way people are. As ministers, challenging them not to be, well, I don't know if I can do this. This is too hard. It's what Jesus did. Yeah, if he didn't, but what does the Word say? And this goes back to the Texas service. It says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You can do it. He's given you what you need. All you have to do is take it and go. Simple. But you still have to do it, because if you don't love, if you aren't long-suffering, if you don't receive people just the way they are and show preferences based on stuff that you prefer, then it's about you. It's not about God, and it's not about them. And you're kidding yourself. That love, that faith cannot save you. Depart from me, I never knew you, is what you're going to hear. And this is hard. It was hard for me to receive. It's an adjustment every time I read the word. It says, I don't measure up to this. It scares me. I know that in Him, and I have to stay in Him, I have to abide in Him. I have to, in Romans 13, put on Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. No justification. There's all kinds of reasons why it's like this, but it doesn't matter. It's wrong. It's wrong. You know, there's so much other stuff. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Really? This is hard. This is the way people are. The only way you can do it is by taking what He's given you and give it out. Taking what He's given you and give it away. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Grace, mercy, love. Preferring other people before yourself and your preferences. And then while you're doing that, and you start feeding people and, you know, giving them things. And then you're doing it for the right reason. You're doing it because you care about them. It's coming out of love, out of agape. That pleases the Lord. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is hard on me. I'm a cynical guy. I'm a sarcastic guy. I've been said that I'm negative all the time. I don't understand that. I think I'm funny. Other people don't mean that when they say that about me in a nice way. I meant it in a nice way. They don't mean it that way. They mean something ugly. Doesn't matter what I think in that vein. It matters how people are receiving me. If that's what they're getting, and that's not what I'm trying to put out there, then I'm in a wrong place. They may be too. I don't have it all the time, all together in one sock. But I know the truth. And I can speak it. And I will. Because that's love. Charity never faileth. It's always going to deliver. It's always going to minister. And it's always there for you. Power, love, and a sound mind. No excuse. No excuse. Lord's good. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. Just as I am, without a plea. You know, reach out and give somebody a hug. Maybe the sorriest individual you know. Love them. Put down that wall of preference. Do something that's against your grain. I'm sure you did. Scared me. I'll tell you what. Oh, I'm done.